Well, also this week, scientists have used a mouse which has been given a human immune system to develop a new treatment, or a potential new treatment, for HIV, which is the virus responsible for causing AIDS, and in the course of doing that, damaging the immune system, of course. Now, currently, the way which we treat HIV is to use a drug strategy called HAART, H-A-A-R-T, which stands for Highly Active Antiretroviral Therapy. And this involves giving patients a combination of different drugs which tackle different bits of the virus life cycle, and this minimises the risk of someone getting a virus which is resistant to the agents. But it's not without problems, and although it has enormously improved the prognosis for people who are infected with HIV, those drugs carry a very high risk of side effects, which can be very unpleasant, and at the same time people do eventually progress to forms of the virus which are resistant to all of those agents. So they can still develop immune problems. So in recent years, scientists have begun to look for ways of using our understanding of RNA, the genetic material of the virus, as one way to tackle the problem. And there's something called RNA interference, which actually got the Nobel Prize a couple of years ago. And this is where you add to a cell a piece of RNA, nucleic acid, which is effectively the genetic mirror image of a gene in a virus or in a cell that the virus is relying on. So you target a cellular gene that the virus needs to grow, for example. And when you put this mirror image bit of RNA into the cell, it finds the normal counterpart. The two lock together and cancel each other out effectively. And it turns those genes off. And this is one way that researchers think we might be able to deactivate HIV. But one major problem with doing this is it's really hard to get these interfering RNAs, as they're known, into the target cells. So another approach that researchers have been looking at is to also use one other interesting aspect of RNA, this nucleic acid, which is that it folds up into all kinds of interesting shapes in a predictable way. So if you choose certain sequences of RNA by putting different genetic letters into it, you can make these bits of nucleic acid that fold into all these interesting shapes that can do things. And Charles Neff and his colleagues have got a paper in the journal Science Translational Medicine this week. They're a team at Colorado State University. And what they've done is to design one of these RNAs, and they're called aptamers, in such a way that they will bind to something called GP120, which is on the surface of the AIDS virus. It's the sticky bit that it uses to penetrate target cells. And the clever thing here is that they have combined their aptamer, their sticky HIV-targeting RNA, onto a second piece of RNA, which is one of these RNA interference molecules. And what they find is if they use a mouse which has been engineered so that it has a human immune system, you can infect this mouse with HIV. The mouse gets exactly the same sort of syndrome that the human would, but you can test this particular approach on the mouse. And what they find is that mice treated with this aptamer coupled with the interfering RNA, develop almost undetectable levels of virus in their bloodstream almost immediately. And as long as you keep treating them with the agent, then they remain well and their blood cells don't change their levels at all over the entire course of the study. And compared with control animals, where if you don't treat them, then they have up to a 50% decline in vulnerable immune cells just in 18 weeks. So this suggests this could be a very powerful way to treat HIV in a novel way, which no one's exploited yet, and which may, if we can translate this to humans, offer a new way to treat the disease without many of the side effects that the current drug regimens carry.
OK, so that's mice, but how far away is this from being applied to humans?
Well, the point they make at the end of their paper is they say that, yes, there is a difference between mice and men, and we need to know what the pharmacokinetics are. So when you put these agents into a person, where will they go? How effective are they? But those are simple studies, which, when we've got some grasp of that, will mean that clinical trials are not going to be too far away.
Excellent stuff.